Good morning. By now, you know that AI is not a revolution like the previous ones, but it is more like a supersonic tsunami. Its impact is 10 times greater than that of the Industrial Revolution, and it is also arriving 10 times faster. It's by far the biggest disruption in the history of humanity. For example, your next colleague at work will probably be an AI agent, not a human being. Last week, we studied artificial neural networks and deep learning and the many differences between the superordered structure of artificial neural networks and the quite lack of structure of our human brain. Today, we will focus on generative AI and large language models. You already know that in Italy, we do not have any smart destination because we are not very good at networking. Companies and institutions do not talk to each other very often. AI will force them to collaborate, if they want to survive, at least from a working point of view. People who don't want to collaborate with others, not only inside their company but also with other ones, will find very difficult to find a job or to keep it. We need to rebuild every institution by which we run the world. Even private companies, if they are not willing to do a dramatic surgery of their own company, they are dead, in any industry. The disintegration of the social contract is the most important conversation we should have now. The social contract is the unwritten pact that citizens have with society. I give society my time and energy by doing a job, and in change, I am guaranteed to be able to buy a house, a car, raise children, go on holidays, travel the world from time to time, and have a pension when I am old. This magic formula is broken now. We need to develop a new one. Now, the most important tool at your disposal is your mindset. You just need to believe in your projects and to follow them until the end, even when they are not funny anymore. You are who you decided to be during the tough times of your life, not the soft ones. Go solve hard problems. There has never been a better period in human history to solve the most ambitious problems that no one else is working on them yet. AI will help you solve them as it gives you a new superpower, superintelligence. That is the best use of your time that you could wish for. That's exactly what you are already doing with your second project work, to educate humanity in a way that is only possible using AI and social media. Larry Page, the co-founder of Google, always said that if you want to be successful, find a problem that is relevant for millions of people and solve it. You will become rich even without any degree. Okay, so today we will start the study of generative AI with something easy to understand. Let's give a face to AI. There are many men and women who are shaping AI and who started the race to build the first superintelligent AI. They are writing the destiny of our species. Forget Trump and Putin. History will not remember them. Elon Musk, whatever idea you have of him, is the only man of the world who was able to kickstart a multi-billion company every 5 years. 10 years ago, when generative AI was still in its infancy, he inverted millions of dollars from his own wallet to found a non-profit company to save humanity from AI. This company was called OpenAI. Elon represents the entrepreneur who is not interested in money, but in fulfilling his dreams. Sam Altman, instead, demonstrates how even the noblest of the ideals can be lost along the way when people manage millions of dollars. Sam Altman is the bad guy of our story. He is the current CEO of OpenAI, and it was him who decided to release ChatGPT to the public in November 2022. When he became the CEO, he transformed the company from a non-profit society to protect humanity from AI to a profit society to just make money. OpenAI has nothing open left. It should be called Open Money. If something will go wrong with AI development, posterity will address Sam Altman as the main responsible. Dummies Hassabis, instead, is very different from Sam. He is a researcher, not a manager, and he wasn't corrupted by money. He won the Nobel Prize a couple of years ago for his algorithm AlphaFold, with which he solved the problem of protein folding, the holy grail of molecular biology, and that is allowing the development of many new drugs to cure many illnesses. Today, Demis is the chief of Google DeepIn, the branch of Google that develop AI, including Google Gemini, Nano Banana, Google Veo, Google Genie, and so on. He also developed the algorithm AlphaGo that beat the world champion of Go. They developed AlphaEvolve, an algorithm to solve scientific problems, GraphCast, an algorithm that improved meteorological forecasts, and AlphaStar, an algorithm to simulate a player of StarCraft, a popular strategy game. Did you ever play StarCraft? He is the living proof of how one can succeed in life doing the things that he loves. Demis loved video games when he was a child, and all the algorithms he developed are basically an evolution of the algorithm to play video games. The largest publicly traded company in the world is not Apple, not Google, not Meta. It is a company called NVIDIA that makes the chips to run AI. It has a market capitalization of $5 trillion. Five trillions are $5,000 billion, or 5 millions of millions of dollars. Janssen, instead, is the president of NVIDIA, the company that has almost the monopoly of the graphic cards used to run AI models. There aren't many uses of the word trillions in real life. One is this, and the other one is to measure the number of parameters of AI models, as we saw in the last lesson. Dario and Daniele Amode are two American researchers of Italian origins. They worked for OpenAI but quit it after the treason of Sam Altman, and they kickstarted their own AI company, Anthropic. They developed the smartest language model of the world, Claude, and are also very concerned about AI security. I invite you to read the slides of Lesson 4 to have a look at the other protagonists of AI. In particular, I suggest you to follow a weekly podcast called A Moonshot if you want to be informed on the latest news on AI. You will find the link to the podcast in the Moodle. Finally, Ashish Aswan was a Google researcher who led the publication of the most important paper on generative AI called Attention is All You Need, published in 2017. This was the last piece of the puzzle to convert generative AI models in useful models like ChatGPT. The title of the paper is curious, as it was chosen to demonstrate that the attention mechanism proposed in the article was good enough to replace the previous algorithm employed for generative AI, called recurrent neural networks. The attention mechanism is a new algorithm that allowed the researchers to increase the number of parameters in a deep network from a few hundreds to billions or even trillions. This new algorithm allowed to organize all computations in a series of matrix multiplications that are just a long series of sums and multiplications that are easy to run in parallel on graphic processing units. The researchers also noticed that the skills of generative models improved every time they increases the number of parameters. This is something that never happens in science. Sooner or later, your models hit a wall and stop improving even if you increase the number of parameters. Researchers thought they had won the lottery when they discovered that generative AI models had no wall and improved every time they added new parameters. Let's take a look in detail at how a generative AI model works. For example, consider this sentence, "Your cat is a lovely cat." Below, in the second line of the slide, are written the positions in the vocabulary of each word of the sentence. If you base your model to forecast the next word, it might be caterpillar instead of cat, and this would be a really big error, even if the word caterpillar is close to the word cat in the vocabulary. Another thing that differentiates artificial neural networks from biological ones are the so-called tokens and embeddings. Each word, each image, each sound is converted into a number before being analyzed by the model, so a sentence becomes a sequence of numbers called tokens. Each token is immediately transformed into an embedding, that is, a vector of thousands of numbers, each one representing a different meaning of the word. The number on the first row of the embedding may indicate, for example, that the target token is a verb or a noun or an adjective or a preposition, or it is a word used in economy or in medicine or in tourism, etc. That's why when the model makes a mistake, the mistake looks quite reasonable. In our example, it may well predict the word Siamese instead of caterpillar. The most important part of any generative model is the so-called attention or self-attention mechanism. Consider this sentence. The animal didn't cross the street because it was too tired. The word it refers to street or to animal. For us, it's very easy to understand that it refers to animal, but for an algorithm, this is very, very difficult to understand. The attention mechanism makes it possible for the model to understand it, as each word in the sentence and each element of its embedding are weighted to take into account the importance that each token has with respect to the other tokens of the sentence. This technique is powerful, but has its limitations. The principal one is that generative AI cannot really experience the world in this way. For example, the embedding of the word pizza can be a very complex one with thousands of numerical elements, but the algorithm is not able to taste a pizza to make the real experience of its flavor. Thus, generative AI cannot really understand the world as we do. It can only have an indirect representation of it. That's why AI lacks common sense. When we see an object colored in red, for example, we have the direct experience of red. AI instead only see its numerical embedding. This is called the hard problem of consciousness. Why can we experience red while AI can't? Nobody knows. In theory, AI should be able to perceive red as we do, because both we and the AI are converting the light of the sun in small electric currents that power neural networks that allow both of us to recognize objects and colors. Anyway, it's good that AI is not able to experience things, or it would easily become the dominant species on this planet. The ugly truth is that we know how to make AI smarter, but not safer. We have no idea how to deal with generative AI. We have never dealt with anyone smarter than us. Just as our dog or cat cannot imagine what we do when we leave the house, we cannot imagine what a creature much smarter than us can do, nor can we understand its reasons. That is the danger. If we cannot anticipate it, we cannot prepare for it either. There is still a chance we can figure out how to level AI well, so we should put enormous resources into trying to figure that out. If we don't, AI is going to take over. That's why you too are contributing with your second project work.
As you know, there are skills AI will never replace. Wisdom, empathy, networking, courage, moral values, all our primary human traits. Humanity's role in a post-labor world isn't to compete with AI in production. It's to specialize in meaning, in ethics, in consciousness. We become the species that asks why things should be done, and AI handles the what and the how, if you remember the rule of the golden circle. We have finally arrived at the place where mundane work doesn't need to exist anymore, and the pursuit of meaning can replace it. But that's not going to happen automatically if we don't figure out how to make it happen. AI, if it is really aligned to our goals, intelligent as it is, might even create the best society ever, with no jobs, free healthcare, free education. All people would be equal and with equal right. No human would have so much power to start a war, for example, as AI will take the most important decisions for the benefit of all, not just a small group. If everything goes well, AI will start an era of prosperity and abundance for everyone. Imagine a world where the currency is not money, but curiosity, where everyone has access to the proper knowledge, where art returns to be the center of life, and where everyone remember that we are one species and not competing tribes.